Welcome to the Storyteller's Tavern. My name is Mush Hughes.
I'm Lee Northrup.
And I'm Leah Hartman.
And together, we talk to makers and artists to learn more about the stories behind their projects and creative journeys so far. Thanks for joining us here in the tavern for Chapter 4, where all of our stories were told during the 2023 Catskill Mountain Maker Camp in East Durham, New York. Lee and Leah met up with Priscilla and Luke Smith, a married couple based out of upstate New York with a wide breadth of work. While they started their creative journey together with woodworking, they've transitioned to mainly sculptural blacksmithing, metal fabrication, and 3D modeling for different CNC projects. You may also recognize the hashtag May4Makers or the Instagram account AndTheyMake, both of which are parts of the online maker community that they've started. Tales in the Tavern today include Priscilla and Luke's long and interwoven history from high school to college and everything else since, their role in helping grow and share Maker Camp, especially in the time of COVID, and we do a little bit of a teacher deep dive, talking about growth mindset and the story of Gail Glagola, who ostensibly set them on the path that led them to where they are today. All right, welcome back to the Tavern, everybody. We're midway through day two. We're still cold, we're still wet, but we had a... We got changed a little bit.
Wardrobe change, yeah.
We're back, and we have the honor of talking to Luke and Priscilla from BL Smith. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us on here. This is awesome.
Awesome. So, like we do in the tavern, we got a chance to kind of come over to your shop, like where you're kind of setting up stuff, and see what you do. But why don't you tell everybody kind of what you do and what you make?
Yeah, so we are mainly metal workers. We got our start back in high school was when we met each other.
It was so
class.
Cool.
We're both from Syracuse, New York, and Priscilla was the pretty girl in class that I had a huge crush on, and I wanted to impress with my artwork. So, we separated for a little bit. We never dated in high school, but then on a college break, I came back and we started dating, and from there, we just were creative together. You know, I was going to school on Long Island, and once we started dating and I graduated, she moved down to be with me down there. And as many people in the maker community do, and you can't afford furniture for your house, you go and you build it. So we just were creative and made different things.
Yeah, we got started originally, I would say, with woodworking, right? Because we were making shelves. I'd come up with something and then he was like, let's do it. Nightstands, bed frame, headboard, different things like that. And then, I'm also an artist, a fine painter. I went to school. I went to SU for visual arts, painting, and art education. That was my double major. And so together we would do things for around the house. But he would even build frames for my paintings. So when I would show and have openings on Long Island across like the North and South Shore, I was able to present the entire body of work with frames eventually, right? So first I'm like going in, I'm growing myself. And so we had these two separate things going on. So I was painting and showing my work and he was doing his woodworking and two separate channels, two separate, you know, Instagram accounts and things like that. But when we moved to Long Island, we made friends with a lot of small business owners and what they, you know, we're looking for, but that's what I love about down there on Long Island, how they really value like small businesses and things like that. Bars, restaurants, they were looking for things like bar top shelves and such. So, you know, we would make friends, chat, meet, and be like, hey, we got this space. This is our vision. Like, what do you think? And I would go in there and I would paint a mural, like behind the bar, whatever. They needed a registered table, cash out, check out. And we were like this duo. That would come in, and we did that one, two, that's the third time. I'm like, we gotta put a name to this,
right?
You know, because we're working together. I would even build their website, their branding, their logo, their business cards, everything. So, and that was really cool. And we got to do that in Babylon, the first one, a woman's hair product business. Yeah. And she had a blank space and invited us in to see it. And I was like, what do you think?
Wow.
And he built all these awesome custom things. So anyways, I sent him to, I surprised him with a class to take of Jimmy Duresto's. He would offer these private classes. There was a woodworking one. And, you know, because his vision was to do YouTube and such, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know, I want to help. You know, I'm always supporting him. And then while he was there, I don't know if you want to take it away, but he got a little taste for blacksmithing because someone was there with an anvil.
Yeah, well, Jimmy had anvils all over his shop, and when I was there, it was the first time I've ever even seen one in person, and his shop assistant at the time was Brett McAfee, Skull and Spade 13, shout out to you. This was a woodworking class, so I said to him, like, I would love to try that. He goes, after dinner, when we wind down with that, I'll give you a little lesson. We'll turn on the forge and get some hot metal. So this was the weekend before our wedding that we were traveling for, and she sent me there knowing that, which is really cool.
Amazing.
And so I got to do a little forging. I made a little hook. I made a heart for her just as a little wedding present. And I was hooked. I loved it. And I started following a bunch of different metalworking accounts on Instagram. And I was showing her one account. It was Chris Cash of Mount Phillip Metalworks, because he did a lot of sculptural metalwork. And that was what I was always drawn towards. And I was like, oh, check out the stuff he does. I mean, because she likes sculptures too. And that was back in early June of 2019. And that October was the first Maker Camp that they were having. And
he kept saying, oh, there's this thing called Maker Camp. I'm like, okay, what do? I just look it up, and then I'm just like, I'm going to buy the tickets. That's going to be a surprise for, I don't know what it was, like our anniversary or something.
Yeah.
And but I couldn't keep it a surprise. So like a couple months before or whatever, I was like, oh, this is what we're doing. So I was like, all right, I got to find another surprise. So I'll never forget where we were sitting when I was like looking over at that account. I'm like, Mount Phillip. Okay. So later on, I like message him privately from my art account, and I'm like, hey, like, I need an anvil. You know, I was like, what can I do? He's like, what are you looking for? What's your budget? I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, what, we're going to Maker Camp? He's like, oh, so am I. So I got one for Luke. He's like, I got something. Oh, have you met him at that point yet? I'm not sure.
No.
But so he brought it there, and I was able to surprise Luke with that.
Yeah.
So ever since then, we've been working with metal and fallen in love with that.
I mean, it's kind of the whole impetus beginning of us and Maker Camp. I mean, this is an event that's very important to us. We've become very involved with it when we met Austin back that time ago, because the year after that, is when COVID hit and they couldn't even have the Maker Camp. And so it was the wink, wink, it's not happening. So local people would come up here. Right. So there was probably 20, maybe 30 of us up here. And I was saying to Austin, I was like, this is so cool. Like, it would be really awesome to have more of these around the year. And he was already on that same thought too. So that's when he started doing the hammer-ins in the spring. And those have been amazing. We've met and become great friends with so many people that have been to those, and you know, this place is like a second home almost, it feels like.
So cool.
And with Priscilla, she's very, very, you know, she's artistic and she's very smart with website development, and she got talking with Austin and helped him out a little bit with the website stuff and developing graphics for the Instagram to promote the Maker Camp. So
we're like the very first not scheduled, because there was one that year, but then every year I would help him with, like, I remember the first map of like the few tents that existed in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Like the graphic of that and the schedule.
Things have certainly changed.
Yeah.
And
oh my God, yeah.
I helped him put together all the sponsors who were supposed to come, you know, and then COVID. I reached out to all of them and coordinated this virtual Maker Camp that happened, where we were able to
demonstrators.
Come alive via Instagram Live. So they were still able to show off their skills and do their thing and within their own home, and people could watch. And so, yeah.
She messaged all of them, and because the idea was they would log on to the Maker Camp Instagram and go live from there. So she's scheduling it, be like, all right, you're going to go live at this time. Here's the password to get in, blah, blah, blah. And
all the different time zones and different countries.
It was really cool. It worked out great. And,
so cool.
You know, everyone got to live vicariously through Instagram Live of Maker Camp.
We're really passionate about the community.
Yes.
And helping grow and helping other people grow, and that including Austin's vision.
Sure. Yeah.
And so as I just rewind on that story, I've never heard of an anvil being that much of a loving gift. Like, that's pretty special.
It was.
But to like hear how much that story just exudes your support for each other mm-hmm. as artists and as individuals is really special. Like, that's just something so unique with, like, I mean, we lots of cool makers here, but the husband-wife maker team, my wife and I teach together, mm-hmm. But she does not understand what I do in the garage.
Sometimes we don't understand each other either, and that's completely okay.
But the support that you guys have shown to each other through, like, from high school is, like, incredible. From high school on, it's pretty neat.
I'm a Thank lucky you. Guy.
So you were talking about the community. I want to just stay there for a second because, like, coming here, I've got to know you guys from afar over mm-hmm. the last couple years, and I love these opportunities to kind of get you, like, you know, to learn your story because I've known your names, but really nothing more than your work, which is amazing. And if anybody that's listening to this isn't checking out their work right now, go check it out. Like, so just press pause on the podcast and go look at what they do because it's truly amazing. But let's just talk about kind of some of the other people in this community and, like, who inspired you, like, when you're high school and you're painting. I'm guessing that was kind of your big medium in high school as you were growing up, and yours was woodworking.
Well, not even then. I didn't grow up in a family that did any making of any sorts. I never touched a power tool until I was in college.
But you were saying you were trying to impress her in high school.
With painting assignments. And drawing.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, we had the same assignments.
Okay.
And so he was advanced, you know. So he was in my class.
Well, she says that because I'm younger than her.
I was a year back. Sorry. And no, it's true. So, and it was so interesting because, like, he was saying, like, he was the perfect, you know, great student on time. I showed in late. If I did show up, my work is very, like, figurative, abstract, expressionist. Mm-hmm. And he's amazing, talented painting and drawing.
It's been a while.
Pen and ink, like, but he's got all those straight lines, you know. He's got, like, architecture, like, completely opposite. But who our art teachers really did inspire us. One being one that kept me going on a good path because mm-hmm. she knew my family and where I came from, and if it wasn't her, I probably wouldn't have kept coming to school. Cool. You know, the art and such, and go to college. She was like, there's something called college, and you're going. You're going to school. So she inspired me, of course, to go and become an art educator. So I got my undergrad and graduate in teaching, and I ended up going that way. So that was a big inspiration to me and for my work in that path. And then in my studies, kind of like you kind of already touched on it a little bit with painting, I went the traditional way that they teach us, you know, with the masters. And so I focused a lot on that for a while, but because I was an art and education major, I had to take sculpture, woodworking, 3D, jewelry and metals, 4D, they called it, so video arts, graphic design. You need to learn everything to be able to teach everything, mm-hmm. pottery, all of it. So it was kind of cool when we got together that he was like, he's gotten interested in using his hands. Mm-hmm. And I got a taste. Like, I had to weld in college. I got to do these things that maybe he just got to do for the first time at Maker Camp. So it was kind of cool that, like, you know, I had at least had some background started there. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, my inspiration definitely came from, like, a really wide variety, I guess, of different life experiences.
That's awesome.
That led me, but I always go back to painting, always. So when we got together and started making, I'm like, how can I stay with him out in the shop and work with wood? So I started making my own paintbrush handles, mm-hmm. or, like, I made a paint palette out of steel and the piece of glass mm-hmm. that I etched in my own footprint. Like, yeah. You know, I was always trying to kind of carry my love for painting into the shop with making, mm-hmm. and, like, there's a leather handle on it and things like that.
And you can see that in the work on your table. I mean, everything is just so beautifully done and beautifully sculpted. And there's just, it's so much more than just a flower. Or it's so much more than just a hummingbird. Or the way that you were showing me the anchor on the bottom of the jellyfish. Yeah. Like, it's so much more. It's so visually stimulating than just sculpture. Like, you can see that.
I mean, we take inspiration from our surroundings a lot. And, like, your question before, too, like, about inspiration in the beginning of it. I touched on, like, I was never exposed to working with my hands until I was in college. And my free time, I played golf in college. Golf's a big thing in my family, and I'm an engineer, so I was getting that degree. And in my free time, I would watch YouTube videos, and I came across Jimmy Dresta and, you know, Bob Clagett. You know, I like to make stuff like those early guys when YouTube was happening, and I always would watch the videos and say, I want to try that. That looks so cool. And so I would make little projects here and there for, you know, utilitarian purposes. And when we got together, and like she was saying, she's doing her paintings, being able to make the frames for that, it was like where we could combine our passions. And so by being out in the shop and encouraging each other, it helped grow and want to learn new things. Like, we're big proponents of the growth mindset and expanding your capabilities. So we were never afraid to try and jump in and try something for the first time, and just being kind of self-taught. I mean, the class that I went to at Jimmy's for doing wood carving, it was taught by Tracy and Katrina, and they are two awesome, awesome people. So I learned a lot of skills in terms of woodworking there, but I did walk away with the, you know, start of metalworking. And that was just the next thing that we could work together on. I mean, of course, like she's saying, with buying the anvil, supporting that idea and that dream of trying the next thing, and it just led us to where we are today.
And then you find new other makers in that new other niche or something, mm-hmm. that we find interesting or trying to figure something out, and then they definitely become more inspiration. Like, oh, they're doing that in a totally different way, and look how they're making it happen, or something like that.
So you bring up growth mindset, and like, one of the books that we've read at school and really have focused on over the last half a decade has been Dweck's Growth Mindset. And everything, like, it's just funny that you even need to bring that up, because everything about your conversation has been growth mindset. Like, oh, yeah. It's been, we started here, but we're constantly progressing as artists and as makers and as people. Like, I mean, there's just no doubt everything you're saying exudes the growth mindset, which is, which is really cool.
Definitely.
Thank you.
So I want to go back to the teacher piece. So the female teacher, I just think is really cool. Can you talk about her a little bit? And like, Leah and I are both teachers. Like, she works at a community college. I'm a private school teacher. I've been a private school teacher for 24 years. And I feel like every single person that's walking around this Maker Fair right now, or Maker Camp right now, they're all teachers. Like, that's what we kind of do as people. But what did she mean to you? Like, do you remember her name? Like, all of those things. Like,
her name is Gail Glagola.
She came to our wedding.
She came to our wedding. We sent her an invitation. She did everything from help. She taught me how to write scholarship letters for financial aid. She taught me, like, this is, I'm bringing you way back from high school. And then when I finally got into college, she helped me go to the art store. She held my hand, helped me pick out the supplies on my list that I needed. I went to SU, so still there right outside where she was teaching. And then when I had to do my student teaching, she helped me with lessons and lesson planning and trying to understand everything, you know, all that good stuff. I will tell you, we are definitely completely different people, different types of artists, and different types of teachers. It's kind of funny because I loved her as a person, but it's not like she was my favorite teacher. I didn't like the assignment she was giving us, the calligraphy one. I mean,
I love that.
You did. I was in love with, you know what I mean? But I just liked her vibe and like what she was doing, like what her energy, you know? So she was amazing. And yes, she definitely took me under her wing. And then later, okay, so after I graduate and I do some, I'm certified after all the bajillion tests New York State requires, I go to do my master's, and so I need to make some money on the side subbing. So, you know, I go in there, she had to be off or whatever, you know, I get to go back to the high school where we went and sub.
Yeah.
And it was fun. She, you know, she showed me the ropes and such, and it was cool because I learned, like, we're very different. Like, I'm a different type of teacher. I guess knowing from where I came from and my background, like, I had a difficult upbringing, and I fell in love with my students with the lower socioeconomic status and English language learners. Then I went in to get my master's in teaching English, as a new language and linguistics and stuff. But yeah, as far as the teaching, it was always about how we could do better and what else can I learn, you know, and not just stopping or giving up. And I definitely do not let my students, that's for sure.
You guys are still friends, right?
I mean, yeah.
That's really special. And so again, I've been teaching, and this is my 23rd year in the middle school classroom. But I hear stories like that and I'm like, I want to be that teacher. Like, yeah. I want to be like, those are the stories that inspire me as an educator, which is, that's really
only
special.
Probably three or four years later after I left one school, because when we moved down to Long Island, well, we're from, in Syracuse, he's like, I want to go to Long Island, you want to join me? I'm like, sure, but I got to find a teaching job in art, wish me luck. So I started in the city, because those were all the jobs were in Brooklyn and make my way out.
Right.
And so I had to like, I don't know, think like quick on my feet. And do you edit this?
We usually don't, but if you want us to, but just.
I'm having pregnancy brain a little bit.
It's
sometimes
okay.
It just
amazing.
Like,
you're doing great. Because I actually want to go there, if that's okay, unless you want to finish that thought, because the pregnancy brain is awesome.
Amazing. It's actually really awesome.
We were actually talking, this is a weird direction to go in, but baby names and kid names. You actually brought it up over by your table, or this is a direction I never would have gone in.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the name that you shared at the table was the first child's name?
Yes.
Okay, can you talk to that for a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
I know that's a weird question, but
it's not weird at all. It kind of has a lot to do with us, and funny, it's kind of behind our name, like P.L. Smith. My last name is Smith, and you can explain this E.D. part at the end later, but P and L is Priscilla and Luke, and when we started dating, she had two cats, Paisley and Lola, and we got more cats together, so we have a total of four cats, but they're all P or L names. And, you know, just kind of funny, we kind of kept that theme going, and our first daughter is named Lily Pearl, so she got LP. And this next one, another girl, we are going to be naming her, I mean, this is going to be down in history forever on this podcast.
Yeah, so we don't know yet, so I got to see her.
I know, but we're leaning towards the name. With a P name. We've been trying to figure out a P name with an L middle name. And Porter Lane is
love
kind
it.
Of the name we like are most leaning towards, because her middle name is Elaine, so having it like Porter Lane. And we wanted a name that's memorable, you know. I always keep in my mind, you come on a podcast and Porter Smith, like that kind of has
cool.
a ring to it than something, you know, generic. But yeah, it's kind of just funny, you know, keeping with the P and L theme. Stuff and yeah, we can't wait. Our daughter right now, she's 1.5, and this one's due in a couple months, so they're gonna be just under 2 years apart. And at first I wanted a boy because I was like, I wanted to be in the shop with me and learn that
the girls
stuff.
Can be in the shop with you, Luke.
Hey,
girls are in the shop with me all the time.
That, you know, I am so happy to be a girl dad. I love it. And she is, I mean, a year and a half, it's crazy. She's starting to just follow everything we do. And like, for example, we just got a shed put in our yard, and I was picking out a spot where it's gonna be level. So I was hammering stakes in the ground using the string line with a level. And she started saying, hammer, hammer. And she took it and she would hold the stake with her left hand and hold the hammer to the right and start hammering it in.
Awesome.
And she didn't do it to just one, because she watched me go around to all four of them. So she would hammer the first one a little bit and go to the next one. And it was really just cool. And I know that her and I have a very strong bond, which are you a little jealous of sometimes?
A little bit. Just a little bit.
But yeah, I mean, it's been really cool just to go through this journey together. And we're going to definitely, of course, let her forge her own path and, you know, do what she wants to do. But open, you know, those doors to her trying these different things that we love to do.
To tie it back to the teaching part, because I am really passionate about it, this is going to be my second year, right? Because your life starts to revolve around school years.
Uh-huh.
And this is my second year, like fall starting, that I'm not in a school. Mm-hmm. And I am home with my daughter, so I've kind of like created this own, my own like curriculum for her, just keep myself sane, right? And with Lily, we kind of take like the Montessori approach sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we really encourage her to kind of do things on her own, and we design, like, we were talking about coming up with making things for her,
mm-hmm.
different things like on the CNC, and she really inspires us for things to make. Because once you have a kid, you're like, you know, shit, they need this or they need that, and they're expensive, but like, what can we make? And so she's been a really great inspiration for us and for me, and how I teach, like how I talk about things. And
I mean, and to tie in with that, and I know this goes back to your question as far as inspiration behind our family with Lily, you know, we were thinking of projects to forge and to blacksmith, and with sculpture, doing organic stuff is a lot of fun because there's no right or wrong.
Right.
And from the beginning of learning forging, Chris Cash, you know, he's been an inspiration to me too. And he was always saying, like, let the metal do what it wants. And so, very following a very organic nature of the metal, doing flowers and, you know, leaves and stuff like that, it's been a lot of fun. And of course, our little daughter named Lily, we decided to forge some lily flowers. And so that was the demo we did here last year. And this year we said, you know, we're going to do something a little bit different. So now we're doing calla lily flowers.
Well, we added to the other lilies from last year and decided to, like, have this garden that to grow versus, like, a bouquet. More something, like, wild that's, like, ever-growing.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, things like that just that fall in our laps, I guess, are what we get inspired by and try to expand upon.
Awesome.
Experience it more. And, you know, like I was saying, our surroundings are big influence to us, so our daughter being surrounded by her every single day, which is amazing, I love it. When we were on Long Island, we were surrounded by the ocean, so that kind of went into the inspiration of doing things, and where I came up with the idea to do the jellyfish sculpture, and that was like the first project I did where it was my lengthiest, like, take my time in between, you know, sessions and really look at it and see how I wanted to do the next step. Whereas, like, most projects, like, I'm so eager and excited to see that final result. Like, I don't even know how many hours go by when I'm in the shop working on it. But it was a nice, you know, way to go about a new thing and practice a new skill of just being more patient and more analytic. And I think that that was probably, you know, my best work as of yet, just because of that and taking my time.
It's been so interesting. It's amazing to watch you grow, because how you started with everything having to be straight and and with woodworking and everything, and then all of a sudden you're just like making this abstract jellyfish. Don't even know where you're going.
Let the metal do its thing.
And you, like, let go of all control and, like, put this together. It was, like, beautiful. I'm like, get it? I'm like, yes.
It's
like me with a paintbrush, you know?
Well, I'm an engineer.
For me to keep anything,
I've loved architecture, and in high school, like, I kind of went, I took the art classes because I wanted to be in it. But I did the engineering classes too, you know, and I loved using AutoCAD and doing that straight line stuff. And when I went on to college, I decided to do a civil engineering degree. And touching back, like I was saying before, golf is big in my family, so I went to college to play golf. And my idea that I wanted to do as a career was do golf course architecture, because I wanted to combine that love for golf with the artistic design side. And my school didn't have that as a program. There's a few schools that really do. I mean, that's such a niche thing. And most of them are in the South. And I wanted to stay kind of closer up to upstate New York.
We know that reason why. It's been well documented on this episode.
Absolutely. So I figured, you know, what is something that is closely related to that? And I went to more of the environmental route of civil engineering. And I went through college just kind of having that as my specific within that major, and totally went the different route when I graduated, because I was offered a job by one of the professors I had there as a transportation engineer. So I do a lot of stuff, like I design the traffic signals and things like that. So it's all straight line, very geometric stuff, and so I have that side of my brain. And when I get out of work, I'm just like, I need to be creative, I need to do something and go towards that organic, sculptural, like, kind of fun stuff.
And you answered one of my questions in my book, like, perfectly, but the question was, if I, like, put everybody in this, like, on these grounds together, said, raise your hand if you played golf.
Yeah.
There you would probably be the only one that would raise your hand. Like, because, like,
in the college, whole, no less.
Right? Yeah. And the maker and the golf thing, like, I love how you can have these two parts of your brain, which one is like, I'm an engineer, I draw straight lines, I do this, and I do it well. And then you can come home and, like you said, let the metal do its thing. Like, I mean, it's just, most people cannot operate like that. So it's fun to hear from both of you guys how your brains work. Yeah. It's really interesting.
No, I mean, my family is a huge part of my life, obviously. But on my dad's side, every single person played golf. He's one of six kids, three boys, three girls. They all played golf in college. You know, my fondest memories growing up were playing in little golf tournaments that were kind of for charity events with my grandfather, my dad, and one of my uncles. And it was what we all did together to have fun. And my dad's sister, her son, so my cousin, he actually went, the route of trying to be go professional, and he's on the PGA Tour right now. Yeah, and this is his first season. He just had a kid, so we'll see how that goes. No, but he's a phenomenal golfer, and it's just something that my family bonds over. Cool. And it's really shaped a lot of my personality, because I remember, I'll never forget, like, my dad saying, like, you'll never meet, like, a dishonest person on the golf course, because you're your own umpire, referee, you call the shots, you know. So, I live my life that way. It's really, it's definitely had a big impact on me, and I enjoy playing the game. Since college and working full time, it's gotten away from it a little bit, but I still get to go out and play with the guys I work with.
What are you shooting now?
Low 70s.
Nice.
And he's incorporated it into his work. He did a small series of golf markers.
Yeah.
Or ball markers.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah, and we sold a few of those, mm-hmm. and the next thing he wants to do is make the golf club.
Yeah, I want to make a golf. I want to make a wedge or something like that, but I also want to take a putter, cut the shaft off, and then weld chain together and make that in the shaft.
Yeah.
And then on the way up here, too, I was thinking in my mind, I didn't even tell you this, so I want to forge like a golf tee. I think that would be really cool,
a golf tee.
And then a golf ball or something. Yeah. I think it would be, just taking those things that you would never consider to be metal and then turning them into that.
Yeah.
That stuff is really, cool to me.
So I want to put a little Easter egg in here for the part of the Storytellers Tavern that's not here, which is Mush. And as you guys are talking about, you're at 32 weeks, and good luck and congratulations
Thank you.
We'll be thinking about you guys over the next few weeks. It's super exciting. But Mush is not here right now because they just welcomed their new daughter, Stevie, into the world four weeks ago. And their first daughter's name is Lily. So,
awesome.
Yeah, just a neat connection that I wanted to pull out. So, Mush, we're thinking about you, man, and wish you were here. And we're having a miserable time without it.
Horrible.
It's so terrible. We're wet, we're cold, we're not having any fun.
No.
But this has been so fantastic, you guys. Let's wrap up by, I'm sorry, Leah.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, where can folks go to learn more about you?
So, yeah, we're PL Smith. It's Smith with ED at the end. And Instagram, we do have a YouTube channel, which we're trying to kind of revive. We haven't posted videos on there in a while, long format. We've done our shorts on there. But PL Smith anywhere, that's our website, plsmith.com. And if you go there, you can find us, whatever, all the platforms.
We also have another Instagram. It's called And They Make. And it's this, I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's we call it like a digital magazine, sort of. Like, it's this online community little place platform that we built on Instagram so that we can feature and showcase other makers and artists. And I'm talking like everything from crocheting to printmaking to
cool.
Online maker camp.
It's something to just feature other people. Like, we'll get their picture that they want posted on there and their story, so that whoever's following her finds the page can scroll through and see all these other makers that are in this community, because the community is so important to us. Yeah. And
events going on you can find too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if anyone's interested in being a part of that, go on there. You can message us on there or click the link in the bio to apply and be featured. And it doesn't cost anything. Mm-hmm. And we're all about, it doesn't matter how big your following is.
Yeah.
And we're all about helping, get people out there. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's an account that's faceless because, we run it and curate it, but
it's
nothing
thing.
About us. Like, you don't, nobody knows who runs it. And I know you guys are wrapping up, but I mean, there's a whole other part of the community that of Made for Makers. I don't know if you guys have heard of that or not, but we started that, you know, in 2020, and it's just a fun challenge that we put on and made these prompts so that everyone could meet each other, really. You know, you post stuff and you use the hashtag Made for Makers, which didn't exist at that point. And
so if you want to see that, type in the hashtag on Instagram. You can type it in Google and it will come up. Yeah.
I mean, it's just been a way to help build this community. You know, if we can be a part of that, it's something that's very near and dear to us and makes us feel fulfilled.
And the fact that you guys are crushing it on a maker level, but also crushing it trying to get back to the community, is just absolutely remarkable. And I really, this is an exciting episode because so much of what you guys do, I really felt like shine through. And thanks so much for sharing all of this.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. We had a great time.
So as we always do, we'd love to close out with a toast.
Yeah.
Cheers to community and baby girls.
Health and happiness.
Happiness, cheers. Baby girls, community. Thanks so much, you guys.
We just heard from Priscilla and Luke Smith. You should check out more of them and what they do on Instagram at plsmithed or plsmithed.com. That's Smith, as in past tense of Smith, with an ED at the end. And also be sure to check out more of the maker and artist community they feature at And They Make on Instagram. All of this is linked in the show notes. That does it for this episode of the Storyteller's Tavern. We hope you enjoyed and will join us next time. Until then, you can find us on Instagram at sttavernpod or at sttavernpod.com. Please consider subscribing to hear all episodes from this and future chapters, and consider rating or reviewing us wherever you're getting these episodes. We had some tremendously generous support in making this chapter of the Storyteller's Tavern happen. Thank you to Total Boat. Not only do they make wonderful resin, paint, varnish, and all sorts of other stuff for makers and DIYers, but they're just outright good people. Check out what they've got at totalboat.com. A major thank you goes out to the Tasting Lab in Greenville, New York, right next to Maker Camp in East Durham. Please stop by the next time you're in town to check them out, or visit thetastinglab.com to learn more. Finally, the biggest thank you goes out to Austin, Maker Camp, and the Blackthorn family, both for your support of this show and for putting on Maker Camp. The community has been and will continue to be positively impacted by your love and support for years to come. Visit CatskillMountainMakersCamp.com to learn more and get tickets for next year as soon as they're available. If you'd like to help support this show directly, you could do so by visiting patreon.com/sttavernpod. The Storyteller's Tavern is an independent production of Lee Northrup and me, Mush Hughes. This chapter also features Leah Hartman on the mic, to whom I am as forever indebted as I am immeasurably grateful. Music and episode production done by me, and you can find Lee, Leah, and me on Instagram at thetinkerteacher, leah.learning, and makermush, respectively. Finally, if you or a maker you know have a story that you'd like to share at the tavern, or just want to drop us a line, you can send us a message on Instagram or reach out to us at contact@sttavernpod.com. But until next time, keep making cool stuff, do good, and be well.